This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. Glenn the Geek here from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 16th, episode 1914, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
I am back in town, Glenn. Did you miss me?
I did. I missed you. And we talked about you a lot last week, sunning yourself on the beach in Hawaii, drinking martinis 24 hours a day.
Yeah, you should stick around to hear how my vacation actually went, coming up after Daily Winnie's.
It wasn't drinking martinis and laying on the beach.
We'll talk about it. You'll see. I feel right now like I have a first world problem as I bought a mic stand. I left a mic stand at Flag Is Up Farms, the one that sits on my desk. And so then I was having to hold my microphone with my hand and I'm trying to type and do everything at the same time. And it was like interfering. And so I bought one and it came and it was a piece of junk. So I sent it back and you were like, I'm going to get you another one. I'm sending it right now. And then you didn't send it. You never actually followed through with that. Yeah, so yeah. I feel like a televangelist right now, holding this microphone, talking to a computer screen. Like I'm on TV. It seems very strange. So if I'm a little disconcerted or a little too casual, you let me know, because okay. I feel like I'm like kicked back in the chair, hold the mic.
No, I did just, people. I just hit submit, so you'll have one tomorrow. So you'll be
coming. That sounds good. Thanks. I'm like, I feel like I should do a little number. Good morning. Good morning. Anyway, sorry. There we go. I'm back. Let me wake up a little bit. All right. So Jennifer, tell us what's on today's show. I don't even think you know.
Coming up. I know what's coming
know.
Up on today.
We don't
Omega
know.
Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition. Following the predictably entertaining review of our co-host, that would be Jamie, Weekend Adventures, we're going to be joined by the 2017 USEF Junior Equestrian of the Year Award winner, Connor Farley. And then mid-show, we've got some first world equestrian problems to get off our chest. And then the Wacky World of Horse Nation chips in at the last fence before cross-cantering across the finish. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Daily Winnie time. I kind of have two here. Let's do this first.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday to you.
Auditor Nicole McKean's birthday is today, so happy birthday to Nicole. And I also want to congratulate Abby, who I met. She came down and visited a little while ago, but she's an eventer, and she is now, she's not the proud owner, she is the proud, what's the word for it when you get it for a period of time? Well, I don't think most people know that there's an HRN Sisterhood of the Traveling Saddle Pad. It's an HRN saddle pad that the auditors decided to ship around to each other 1 month at a time. Ridiculous. And it's had good luck, actually, because it's won a couple things along its journey. And Abby, over the weekend, was at Kelly's Ford Starter Trials, and the saddle pad was lucky. Her horse, Everett, scored a 28 and added one unlucky rail to take the win. So she got the blue ribbon with the saddle pad. And
now, I have one of these saddle pads, and you told me I was not allowed to show in it.
Well, no, because you're not allowed to show in it. Everybody else can show in it. There's a difference.
Okay, makes sense now. Maybe I need that saddle pad.
Yeah, you need the traveling saddle pad. I didn't realize also when I started looking for the HRN Sisterhood of the Traveling Saddle Pad Facebook page. Yes, there is one. I didn't realize there's a lot of HRN Facebook pages that people have started. The sci-fi page, the saddle pad page, the weight loss page, and there's a bunch more that I didn't even know about. So there's a lot of HRN pages out there. But congratulations to Abby. And she also got to meet Lindsay, one of the other auditors. And it's always fun when the auditors get to get together and hang out. Also, I wanted to mention Abby has the cutest. You have to go to her Facebook page, Jamie. She has the cutest new puppy named Zoe. It's the cutest puppy ever. So congratulations to Abby. And I guess she'll
be shipping
the pad off to whoever's next. So whoever's next got to win blue. It's just required now.
Me.
That's right. It's required. Let me just reiterate that you're still not allowed to wear your saddle pad. Not unless
you're like, I'm sending you this pad, but don't wear it. Like,
you can't use it at home, but that's it.
Don't take it anywhere. So I just wanted to let you know that I own a horse, a very fancy horse, and he just won a 3-star with Jaunty Evans. That's right. My 12-year-old took the Grantham Cup CIC 3-star, the rider being Jaunty Evans. And of course, me, along with 6,800 other owners. Congratulations. The people's horse won a 3-star. Doesn't it feel good to say that, though? Like,
it is. And remind everybody what happened with that.
Okay, it was last year, and the horse, I can't remember what the drama was, but he was about to lose. Jaunty Evans, who's an Irish
rider, the owner
was
going to pull the horse from him.
He was going to sell the horse.
Yep.
And he went out and decided to crowdfund, and 6,800 people donated money.
Million dollars worth of money.
Up to $500,000. Yep. If you want to just tell the story, you go ahead.
No, just throwing the little tidbits in.
Yeah, no, seriously, like $500,000 was donated to Jaunty to get Cooley Rourke's Drift. And they just won their first 3-star. I guess apparently last year they just didn't have a great run because there was a lot of weird pressure on them. I can't imagine when you feel like you have to answer to 6,800 people.
You know, having a one owner is bad enough, but 6,800 of them.
Right, exactly. So they did really well over the weekend. So congratulations, winning a 3-star. And they're ready for badminton.
Yay! Good job.
So we could all have a badminton winner.
But good job. Yeah, that would be fun. Or, you know, maybe World Equestrian Games. You never know.
Did you Olympics. Donate too? Did you buy some of Jaunty's
horse? Yes, I think I did.
Horse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we all did.
We're like, we want to own a 3-star. Yeah, that's cool.
Well, let me do a little bit of news and then we'll hear about Hawaii because there was some big news over the weekend. It was World Cup time and it was in Paris this time. And the United States did very well. McLean Ward won it last year in 2017. And this year it was BZ Madden's turn to win with Breitling LS. They were named this year's champion after winning the first two phases, Thursday and Friday. The pair finished. Now, winning the first two phases with no penalties, no rails down. She took one rail down and managed to win in the third round. And she's 55 years old, and she's the oldest rider to ever win the World Cup. So good for her. One rail in three rounds is pretty impressive at World Cup level. And so coming in second also was a United States rider, Devin Ryan, came in second aboard Eddie Blue. Sweden's Henrik von Eckermann came in third. And in fourth place was McLean Ward. So three out of the top four in the World Cup, people, that's the tops of the top, took that. And that looks very promising for World Equestrian Games and Olympics coming up for the United States. Also over there in Paris, they had the World Cup of Dressage, and Laura Graves and Verdades came in second, was leading into the final round, and Isabel Wirth pulled it out, as she usually does. So Isabel Wirth took the win with Laura Graves coming in second, but Laura was not unhappy with that. She finished with a score of 89%. And then Isabel Wirth came in at 90.6%. So they were only 1% apart. So she was pretty happy with that, too. It looks really good for the top ranks of the dressage and jumping world here in the United States right now.
Wow, that's incredible. And just amazing.
Think about that. 55 years old, and she's out winning everything. Just incredible.
You know what? It's weird because, like, I was thinking at 55, like, right now at my age, which is, I feel, considerably less than 55.
Well,
like, my
to
body
be fair,
hurts.
You are.
No,
relatively speaking,
grandpa are. Over there. but my point is, like, I hurt. My body hurts all the time. She's 55 and she's winning Grand Prix. Like, how amazing. How amazing she must be. What shape she's got to be in. She's incredible.
Yep. So good job to the whole team. Really yeah. Well done. So you went to Hawaii and had a very lovely, relaxing, beautiful vacation with the sun shining and the drinks flowing.
Yeah, it was sort of like that, but not. So we went to the Big Island. Backstory, Chad's father is a very responsible financial planner. That's what he does for a living. Yet he owns multiple timeshares. So, yeah.
So you can benefit.
I can't explain why a financial planner would find it a good investment to continue to buy timeshares, but he goes to the sales meeting and he gets the pitch and he buys it. Okay. So there are several floating around out there for various family members to use. So he had one in Hawaii. So Chad's retired now. He doesn't go back to work for a couple weeks. So it's like, hey, let's go on a trip. Where do you want to go? Chad wanted to go to Hawaii. We went to the Big Island. We had, you know, the free flights on American and then the free place to stay. So it was a no-brainer, right? Up we go. So I kind of happened quick deciding where to go. So I threw together a bit of a plan because when you have a four-year-old, there requires considerably more planning. Yeah, than you would just like if it was Chad and I, we'd get in the car and drive around the island and see what we can find. But it doesn't work like that when you have a four-year-old to entertain. So I, every single day, made a plan for us to do, something to do. So we get there. Day one, I'm like, okay, we're going hiking. We're going to go to this spectacular hike we've never been to. It's up on the north side of the island. It says it's incredibly fun and beautiful. You hike down to the bottom. There's waterfalls. It's amazing. It's awesome. So we get in the car and we drive 2 hours north to go to this beautiful, amazing hike. And about an hour into the drive, it starts raining. And so I'm checking the weather.
Rains in Hawaii?
it various parts of the island have different parts of rain. So I check, I'm like, oh, it's raining. So we stop and we get ponchos. And we're like, we're just going to freaking hike it anyway. Ponchos and all. Like, I put a poncho. We get there. I put a poncho on my son. I tie in a knot. I'm like, you're walking in a bag. So we start walking. And it's been raining considerably. And we see this guy walking back up the hill like he's already been there. And he is wet from head to toe. And he's like, yeah, couldn't quite get over to the waterfalls without taking a swim. It's kind of scary. Okay, see you guys later.
We're flooded.
And a whole thing flooded out. So we got about 10 more steps. And Chad and I are like, this is a really bad idea. This is a really bad idea. Like, I'd see the newspaper headlines, like, four-year-old gets swept away. You know, like, the mommy, like, fierce mama bear in me came out this week, too, protecting my child from the water, which you guys know I don't like water. I don't go on cruises. I don't like water. It's the whole thing's scary. So I was like, okay, we're turning around. So we get back up there. So 2 hours to drive on a hike. We hiked for, like, 12 minutes, okay? And it was so rainy and foggy that we were on top of the overlook. You couldn't see anything because we're on an overlook and it's foggy and rainy. So you could see like 6 inches in front of your face. So I'm like, okay, back in the car. We drive, we get some lunch somewhere. You know what, buddy? Let's get you some shave ice. So we get him some shave ice. Four-year-old's happy. Chad and I are irritated. We get back to our part of the island. It's beautiful. We go to the pool. Next day, I'm like, okay, we are going to see the lava. I've got my kid excited. We're going to go see hot lava flowing. Wake up in the morning. Check the weather. It's pouring on that side of the island. Lucas is like, what about the hot lava? I'm like, buddy, we're going to. So we went and hiked in an old lava field. Like, here's the lava, dude. So it's like, while you're like, can we take this rock home? I'm like, nope, it's illegal to take lava home. You can't take it. So
is it really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's illegal to take things from the island. And it's also incredibly very bad luck. The volcano park says people send lava back every year, like boxes of lava, because they take it home and they realize it's really bad luck.
I don't know. So, lava is bad luck. Anything. Well, it's bad luck if it lands on your head. Well, it's still hot. I know that. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So parent fail number two. Okay. Then day three. I'm like, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go down to a place called Kealiakekua. It's the most amazing snorkeling ever. But you can rent a kayak and go out and see spinner dolphins. Do you know what a spinner dolphin is, Glenn?
No, I have no idea.
It's a dolphin that leaps out of the water and does like 360 spins, spins around and then goes back in the water. I don't know why they do it. I'm not a scientist. I just know that when I was young and just dating Chad, we went to this place and we saw the spinner dolphins. And I thought, what a cool place to take my kid. So we go, this is a 2-hour drive.
They're like the gymnasts of the dolphin world.
Yes, they're like amazing dolphins. So we get in the car and we drive 2 hours south. It looked like 45 minutes, but apparently it's through like a lot of towns and it takes forever. So 2 hours south, we get down there. We finally find the place to kayak. We rent the kayak. It's $85 for the day. That's a pretty good deal. The whole day, it's a 3-person kayak. So they kind of get us out in the water and Chad gets in the back and then they kind of strap Lucas in the middle. And he's got a life jacket on and he's like totally safe. And then I go to get in and the kayak almost tips over while I'm trying to sit in it. And moment panic number one. But
hold on. Let me just play this now.
I don't want to be that girl.
Like, oh my God, I'll hold my oar. I'm about to fall into the drink. My child's in the middle. So it's a little bit right. We're in the ocean. Okay. It's like a little cove, you know? So you basically, it's like, suck it up, buttercup. Get in the kayak, take your 4-year-old out there and show him a damn dolphin. So we push off and Chad's in the back and he's paddling and I'm in the front. And it was about 12 seconds before the panic starts. The ultimate, we're still in the cove. It's quiet. It's nice. Like, man, let's just go. And we see some people like swimming outside their kayak as we get like into the ocean part. So we're kayaking along and it's rattling and I'm putting in the hard work, you know, arms moving and I don't really use those muscles. So I'm really feeling it within like a minute and a half.
Which is why you rent it for the day. It means nothing because in a half an hour, you're paddling back.
The whole day I've got ahead of me. And I've got snacks. I've got a dry bag. I've got my phone. I've got everything geared and ready. And I start to see these people like out in the distance. So we're paddling out and we're like, you guys okay? And he's like, yeah, dropped my GoPro. So they're diving down trying to find their GoPro that he's like, we capsized our kayak. And I was like, what? These things tip over? Oh my God. So we're paddling out and now we're out in the ocean and I don't know. I couldn't do it anymore. But I'm trying to be tough.
Everybody that was really disappointed that Jamie didn't go on the cruise, now you're kind of hearing why.
Yeah. It gets better. So I'm out there and I'm paddling and we can see the Captain Cook Monument, which was like our goal was to kayak. And at this point, it looks like it's 47 miles away. And I'm fighting the current, the ocean, I'm terrified that some damn dolphin is going to come up and hit my kayak and knock me over. This is awful. I'm like, there's dive bomb, time bomb, freaking dolphins underneath me. This is terrible. My four-year-old's in the back. He's still very quiet, by the way. We've slathered that boy in sunscreen. He's wearing a life vest. He's locked in. He's right in between daddy's knees. Daddy's in the back kayaking and paddling away. And at this point, I'm like, I can't take it anymore. That's 47 miles away. There's no way I'm going to be able to kayak there. My arms already hurt. I'm in the ocean. There's some sort of like time bomb that's going to come out and jump out of the water and scare me half to death. That's just awful. And Lucas goes, Mom. Yeah, buddy. Mom, I don't like this. I want to go home. I go, okay, turn it around. Like that was all I needed was like, just the minor cut. And Chad's like, we can keep, just keep paddling. And I was like, nope, he wants to go back. We got to go back. He wants to go back. It's time to go. I don't know. He's scared. Let's go. So we turned the kayak around. Chad's like, I just paid $85 and we've been in this thing for about 6.5 minutes. So we turn around, we paddle back. And the guy who's rented the kayak is this Hawaiian guy. And he's like, you guys okay? Chad goes, no. He goes, I knew about 30 seconds in, as soon as it almost kayaked, tipped over when she got in it, this was not going to work. But we gave it a go. We got out to the ocean. We turned around. We came back. And he was like, all right, so you're done? He's like,
he didn't offer a refund, did he?
Actually, he goes, let's see, $85. He gave us $25 back. Chad was like, that was the most expensive 15 minutes of my entire life.
I'm going to make you feel better real quick. So we went down to Tampa yesterday or over the weekend and did one of the Finding Florida shows. And one of the things we had to do was do the paddle boats. So you sit, it looks like a bicycle sitting on pontoons.
Yes, and I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they had a two-person one, so Jim and I went out together. And they said, we asked, how long do people rent them for? And they said an hour, they get down the river, and then they come back. We got literally around the corner of where the dock was, and out about 20 feet, and I was done. I was like,
your legs gave out.
My legs gave out. I was like, how do people keep this out for an hour? Literally in 10 minutes, we had it back. So it makes you feel any better.
Sure. That makes me feel much better about my three in a row mom fail.
Did you have anything that succeeded? Leave us on a positive here.
Day four, we're supposed to fly out, you know, at night, and there was an earlier flight in the day. But when you're flying non-rev, like you can't always, if you're flying standby, you don't always have the best option to pick what you want to do. You know, like it's a flight, like we meant to leave on the Saturday before, but we got there and we missed three flights. We didn't get on. So we had to go back Sunday. So at this point, Thursday afternoon is a flight. And then the Thursday night one was the one that went straight back to Phoenix, but this one went to LA. And we're like, well, we just should get to the mainland and see, you know, about flights then. So we leave like a couple hours early, about 6-7 hours earlier than we were planning. So we didn't really have a whole day. So we sat around and watched movies and like went to the pool. And then we went to the airport and we flew into LA. And as we're flying from the Big Island to Los Angeles, we're going to get in late. We're going to have to get a hotel. I go, let mom, who epically failed on every aspect of this vacation, like I planned.
Yeah, but I got to say, none of it was really your fault, except for maybe the water thing. Which you should have.
Yeah, but
known.
Explain to a 4-year-old why we actually did nothing on our trip. Like nothing. So I'm like, you know what we're doing? We're renting a car in LA and we're driving down to Legoland.
Oh, well, that's a win any day.
Yay, Mom. If you ask Lucas what we did on vacation, he says we went to Legoland. There's no Hawaii in his recollection whatsoever. He remembers none of the entire time on the island. All he remembers is Legoland. And it was a big hit for a 4-year-old. Oh, my God. So I highly recommend if you have a small child like that. We went on a Friday, too, and you get there when the gates open. We didn't wait more than 5 minutes for any ride. It was awesome. And then we had to leave and catch our next flight by 2. So we got there like gates open all the way until about 2 o'clock. He was toast. He slept all the way to the airport. It was awesome. So mom saves the day at the end. And
Jemmy took her kid to Legoland here down by Tampa, and they loved it. They loved it.
I had to go with Chad's family. If you remember, a couple of years ago, they took a family vacation and went to like Disney World, Legoland. Lucas was about a year old, and he couldn't walk. Yeah. He was too young, couldn't do anything. I thought it was my own personal hell. But now taking a four-year-old who actually like can ride the rides and enjoyed certain things. I mean, aside from me being the mom, was like, come here, put this hand sanitizer on.
I was
going
to say, you're a germaphobe. How'd you do it in Legoland?
Oh, I know. I'm like, come here. He's like, Mom, I just washed my hands. I'm like, Julian, you touched something. So, yeah, there you go. So Mom saved the day, and we flew out, and everything is all better. So the times all my horses are healthy and happy, and my baby chick is still here. So life is good.
Well, good. Yay. So I did go down to Tampa, and we did this. We did the river walk, which is about 2.5 miles, but we had to do
and
like...
how far is Tampa from Ocala?
About 2 hours.
Because what I know of Tampa, it's like the strip club capital of the world.
It is really, actually. But the part we were in down by the Riverwalk is not. That was actually...
You have strippers down by the river.
No, there weren't a lot of strippers down there. There wasn't any stripping boats or any of that stuff. It's actually kind of classy. And it was one of the... We've been to a few Riverwalks now in cities, and it was really nice. We did 2.5 miles, and we met a bunch of friends, actually, at about halfway through at the one bar along the water. We met a bunch of friends there, and then we did all these things for the show, but it was very nice. I'd go back there. I kind of liked it. I thought it was one of the nicest non-cheesy river, because a lot of them still have the t-shirt shops and all that stuff, and this didn't have any of that. So it was really quite nice. We had a good time.
You didn't get an airbrush t-shirt of a unicorn that says
not.
Tampa?
I did not.
Just so you guys know, this is not a travel podcast. We are just catching up on our travels.
We apologize.
Like I said, my horses are good.
And now we have new listeners. Did we mention a horse in the first 20 minutes? Because we get in trouble if we don't.
Yeah, I said I got home and my horses were fine.
Oh, okay.
I do want to say that Precious Magic Gal Jennings will be having some videos made of her and some photographs made of her this week, and she's officially going to go for sale, because while I was gone, she went in the stall with my big broodmare and started kicking her. So they like kind of got in the same stall as
my pony.
So
you're saying your pony's acting like a pony?
She's acting like a pony, and the bitch's got to go.
Welcome to my world.
What I do. Sorry, we have a youth on the line, and I just said that word.
Yes, you did.
I'm the worst person ever. I'm so sorry.
All right, let's do this. Not the first time he's heard that. All right, so let's go and hear about one of our title sponsors, Omega Alpha, and we're actually going to come back and talk about horses. We promise.
Okay.
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship, whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created 3 different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters, Chill Ultra Paste, with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium, and Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares, and you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
And one of our listeners, Jill, actually met the good folks from Omega Alpha at a show she was at this weekend and said they were absolutely terrific. She loved it. So if you get a chance and you see Omega Alpha out and about, say hi to them, tell them what your issues are, and they actually sometimes can fix you up with some sample product as well. So Omega Alpha Equine, you can find them on Facebook at Omega Alpha Equine. So check there. All right, our first guest today is Connor Farley. Now, Connor is the recipient of the 2017 Junior Equestrian of the Year Award. At the age of 18, he's racked up 27 national and world championship titles in Western Dressage, Western Pleasure Equitation, and Showmanships, and he's a Morgan lover, so he's won 58 USEF regional titles, And I don't really know what he does other than show, because I don't know how he has time. He's in college right now. I don't even know how he has time for that. And in the meantime there, he had quite a trauma that we're going to talk a little bit about and came back from that. So good morning, Farley. Connor, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you so much for joining this morning, and congratulations on winning a Question of the Year. Did you have any inkling about it?
I was actually shocked, to be honest with you. I really wasn't expecting to win it. It was just really an honor just to be nominated for it. So it was a great honor, and I'm extremely happy about it.
Yeah, I bet you are. Too. And I assume you were at the awards ceremony?
Yes.
Pretty cool when they call your name, right?
I enjoyed that.
It's pretty cool.
I'm sorry?
Pretty cool when they call your name.
Oh, it was really cool.
I bet.
On the presentation beforehand, a lot of what all my achievements, I really don't know how many I had. My parents had to do calculations. I really don't keep track of that.
Well, and you know, you've been doing it for so long, it just becomes part of the what you do, right?
Right. And I just enjoy just being around the horses in general. That's what I truly enjoy.
When did you start with horses?
My mom actually had a small lesson farm when I was born, but I started riding when I was 3, so that's about 15 years.
And Morgans were what she had? How did you end up with Morgans?
So, my first Morgan was Keela Stardust, and she was actually my first one I took to the World Show, and we actually got her as a rescue. A while back, there was a trailer accident, and she was the only one that made it out of it. And she ended up actually following me out of the stall, and she was my first Morgan, and then I got wrapped up in Western Morgan.
And so I think people don't, I think a lot of people, I think Morgans have become kind of forgotten in the horse world by a lot of people, and they were the most prevalent horse in the United States in the early 1900s. There were more Morgans than anything else. A lot of them were used for driving, but Morgans really are versatile. You do a little bit of everything, and you have with them.
Oh, yeah. One of the biggest things right now is there's a huge breeding operation actually in the Amish, and they're getting into show horses as well, rather than just the utility of it.
And
so they're very versatile.
What have you done? So you've done a lot of the Western stuff, right?
I've done a lot of Western. That's what I specialize in. That's my specialty right there. But I've also done some hunt seat driving. I've done a little bit of everything, but Western is what I really enjoy.
So now you had an incident.
Wait, real quick, what sports in the Western category have you done? I mean, I'm just not that familiar with Western Morgan stuff.
So majority of it I do is Western pleasure. That's where I kind of shine. I don't really do too much of the equitation. I actually enjoy breaking younger horses and to do Western pleasure. So I actually have a 4-year-old that I'm having a lot of fun with, and we were out on the trails the other day. He was all by himself. He's never been out there, and I was pretty impressed that he was able to take all that.
That's kind of cool. And I want to talk a little bit about Cowboy Connor Enterprises, too. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about what happened in 2017.
Oh, let's put that as a learning year, a self-learning year.
We all have them.
We all have them.
And you're going to have more, by the way.
I'm going to have more. Oh, I expect it. I had actually had a mayor flip up over on top of me. And I'll be honest with you, it was completely my fault. Two of my biggest things is I actually had steel-toe boots on, and I didn't have spurs on, and I actually lost forward. And normally when something like that happens, I can get out of it. Saddle pretty easy and land on my feet. Well, except the steel toe boots got caught in the stirrup, and I landed right on my hiney, and the impact then actually broke my L1 in 5 places and compressed it halfway.
Mm. That hurt.
That put me out for, I think that was back in February, and I was about 2 weeks before the World Show. I was actually back allowed on the horse, so then I actually went right to the World Show from that.
And did pretty well too, right?
Yes, Western. We did a lot of Western dressage. Everything we had to qualify for.
Now,
I had a horse actually won. I think 2 classes of Western dressage at Oklahoma.
How long after you broke your back were you back on the in the saddle?
It was about 2 or 3 weeks right before October. It's like the end of November.
So that's the difference.
I was down.
So how long? How many months was it?
That was
6-8 months.
That's 6-8 months. Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's the difference between Jamie and I. We would be out for a year.
Dude, he's saying, Glenn, he's saying he rode 2 weeks after he broke his back.
Oh, no. I was writing 2 weeks before the world show.
Oh, I'm like, oh, my God.
I only had two weeks to prepare. No.
No, he's what? Young, but he doesn't bounce that much.
Like, how the hell did you get on that horse? Somebody just put, like, put the horse in a hole, and you had to, like, be lowered onto it? That'll make you more sense.
Now, don't get me wrong. 2 weeks after my injury, in May, actually, I was doing showmanship with a back brace on at a horse show.
Of course you were. God. That's the difference between 18 and our age, too. That makes a big difference as well. But no, you did have the fortitude to come back and obviously do very well. And then tell us about Cowboy Connor Enterprises.
So Cowboy Connor Enterprises is a little small business sort of thing where actually I take project horses and I work at them for about a couple years. And then we sell them and find them actually a better home, and they're actually broke to do more Western things. So one of the first ones I ever did was a horse called Great Cliff Governor Scott, and he took about a year, and we finally got him broke completely, and now he's in, where's that at? He's up in Minnesota with a little girl showing walk trot, and she's doing extremely well. She's had him for about 2 years now.
Well, what is it that you said, I keyed on this. You said, I do this because I really love the horses. You obviously love showing, too. What is it that drew you? What is it that keeps you with horses? Why do you stay with horses?
Why do I stay with? I would probably say it's probably the companionship and the growth you can have and the connection you can have with the horse itself. I just always enjoy going up to the barn every morning. There's not a day where I don't regret it. And being down for the longest time drove me nuts, not being able to really leave the house too much and walk down to the barn. It drove me insane.
I bet. So how many do you have now? How many? Are they all Morgans that you have right now?
I have all Morgans, kind of all Morgans. I actually have 3 horses and a donkey.
Oh, really? Everybody has to have, you have to have the
donkey.
Yeah, the donkey. What's
you
a donkey?
You have to have a donkey.
What's a donkey's name?
Donkey.
That's clever. Is there any other breed that you would like to get more into or like to try? I know you like starting horses. You ever wanted to do a Mustang or anything else?
Mustangs would be really interesting. That'd be a whole lot of fun. But I've also looked at getting into the Arabs a little bit as well, and half Arabs.
Well, and I can see why. You know, I can see the correlation there.
Yeah.
So
very similar.
If you were going to give me a commercial right now for a Morgan horse and why people should look at Morgan horses, what would you say?
I would say that they're probably the most caring breed, and the thing that says a horse that chooses you is very correct. And when you find the right Morgan, you're connected to them. You two are connected from the start. Like I said, I have that young one. And I could be acres away and just call his name, and he will come running at full speed away from all of his friends across that field to come see me. You just get that bond with the horse. And I believe it's stronger in the Morgans.
They tend to be a little bit more one person, too, don't they, than other breeds?
They can be, but also I've had several that just love people in general, and they just want to be around people more than horses and love kids. I've had a lot that just love the little kids.
Well, what are you studying at Ohio University?
So, I'm studying business management. I actually I should be graduating this summer. I have my last load this summer along with the internship.
Oh, wow. Well, very good. Well, it's been quite a year for you. Congratulations again on winning the 2017 Junior Equestrian of the Year Award, and good luck. No more steel toe boots in the stirrups, though, okay?
My mom threw those away.
Yeah, I bet she did. Well, thank you, Connor.
Be better, boo.
You can follow
thank
Connor
you very
too.
Much for having me.
Cowboy Connor on Facebook is where you can find him. It's Connor Farley. Thank you so much, Connor.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, let's do this. Let's take a break for a song. And then, did you come up with some first world problems, by the way?
I think the auditors are coming through here. I've got enough, I think, to go ahead and do the segment.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Good. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. So we're going to take a break for a song, and we're going to do When I Get Where I'm Going by Templeton Thompson, and we'll be right back. That's Templeton Thompson, When I Get Where I'm Going. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. Whole gang's back today. We have Jamie, Jen, and me, Glenn. And we are here Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Jeez, I got my times all mixed up. We are here at 9 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. Well, Jamie, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right.
Now, this first world problem comes from a horse husband, but also a horse guy. So I don't feel like I should read it in the whiny voice typically because it is a man. So
use
maybe
your deep,
I'll just
masculine voice.
I'll use my deep yes. whiny voice.
Yes.
I don't know if Matt has it.
I'd read it because mine's whiny all the time, but I don't have it in front of me. So.
I don't have it in front of you. I could send it to you and you could read it by the end.
Okay.
I'll just do it.
Okay.
I'll just do it. You guys, my hay guy just brought my monthly hay delivery. And this delivery of round bales they have is like an extra 100 pounds in weight. And the only problem is I don't have a bale spear from my brand new tractor I got last weekend. So we had to move 6 bales by hand into my hay storage area. And
how did they even do that?
Now I'm sweaty and I have to go into my air conditioned office to cool down.
Okay, I kind of feel bad for him because those bales are really heavy. I don't know how they even moved them.
Oh, poor Matt. Your brand new tractor couldn't carry because you got extra hay? Oh, that's so sad. Rhonda says, we had an ice storm and I couldn't see my horse all weekend. And I was stuck in the house like a prisoner. I couldn't even walk my dogs.
The weather, I got to tell you, though, the weather was weird. They had 2 feet of snow in the upper middle part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Two feet of snow and tornadoes in the south. So figure that out.
Chantel, this is awesome. Ever since doing Join Up with my pony, Rosie, she follows me everywhere.
Yeah, you get what you ask for.
I love it. Isn't that what you get what you ask for? Yeah.
Yep.
Lindsay says, my new horse passed his vetting with flying colors, but now I have to wait another week for him to get here. Mo says, a few months ago, I got a great deal on an amazing Devakut that fits me great. But now my stirrup leathers don't match. So I have to wait 2 more weeks for it to come in. The shame. Oh my God, you have to ride with unmatching stirrup leathers and on a Devakut, like somebody's going to shoot you.
Yes,
like
she'd get arrested for sure.
Devakut lightning bolt is going to come down from the sky and it's going to totally zap you because like you are
Mo?
Embarrassing them. Yes.
Okay, Mo, you live in Texas. They're not going to know the difference.
They don't even know what a Devakut is.
They don't know what that is. They're going to say there's that lady riding with the English saddle. They're not going to notice the stirrup leathers.
There are lots of events in Texas. Okay. I've looked because I potentially am going to live in Oklahoma. So I've had to check out the eventing scene and it is real.
Okay.
I haven't pre-read any of these, by the way. So you're just getting them. Here we go. Kristen said, I had minor emergency surgery on Friday. So I had to ask my barn manager to blanket my pony. And I'm like afraid she did it wrong, even though she's like a bajillion years of experience. But I can't go check for myself.
Did she just call her barn manager old? That's what I heard.
She's like a bajillion. Over a bajillion. Jess says, life is so hard. I got myself some new riding boots because my old ones are almost split in half. But like now I don't want to ride in them because they're like so pretty and new. Feel you, Jess. Dude. That's a question first world problem.
Isn't that true of like brand new riding breeches, especially the light colored ones or anything
God,
you
I
get
know.
Saddle pads or.
Exactly. Yeah. Samantha said, since Mother Nature can't make up her mind, I'm having to clean my summer and my winter habits. And there's no way of knowing which one I'm going to need for outriding at the event formerly known as Rolex.
By the way, that's what everybody that I've heard talking about it is calling it that. And I know that pisses you off, but that's just what they're calling it.
You know what? Land Rover stepped up and paid for it. Rolex didn't. So you can call it whatever you want,
it's
but it
hard.
Is the Land Rover.
It's hard.
I know it's hard. I feel like when I say it's the Land Rover, people don't know what I'm talking about. So
they're talking about a car. See, Rolex, unfortunately, I think what happened with Rolex is they've been around so long as a sponsor of things, you don't even think of watches anymore. You think, oh, Rolex,
but you know
it's
what?
That horse
when Rolex, when Rolex started, people had probably a real hard time calling it not Kentucky, you know,
right.
So it's then it became Rolex and now we're just have to say the Land
so
Rover.
Give us 10 years. We'll get it right.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. It's going to take some time. It's hard for me too. I promise. It's not like an easy transition for me. I've been going to Rolex since I was like 7. Where was I? Avery. Oh, poor Avery. It warmed up enough to unblanket my ponies, but now they're all muddy. Kimberly said that she overheard this at a clinic last weekend, so she had to let me know. this is what somebody said. I really shouldn't buy that right now. I like totally went way over my horse shopping budget. Kayla Muller, who we've had on the show a bunch, bought a foal.
Yeah, what did you see? Yeah, I didn't see the whole story. I didn't have time to really.
I don't know. We got to get her on.
It was something about a video that went viral, and she ended up buying the foal.
I think she bought the foal and her video went viral, but it's this like baby foal that like jumped over hedges.
Oh,
and
I don't know.
Super cute. Anyway, let's get Kayla on. Put in for Kayla to come on the show and talk about her new baby, because now she's complaining that she has to wait like years to compete with her. Like, tell me about it. I know I have a yearling. It's torture. I'm like, can I just put a surcingle on her and like drive her? What's the deal? What can I do with the yearling? Somebody tell me what I can do with a yearling besides like she can pick up all her feet and she comes when she called, she leads. I need to figure out what to do with her. I'm tired of sitting her like wasting. Like some might say she's growing. I say she's wasting.
I don't know why you can drive her.
I don't. Well, my vet did say I could start to long
ground
drive
her. Yeah.
Cecilia says, I finally figured out our training schedule with the baby and Kane, but went out and Kane has been to shoe. And so I'm trying to chase down a farrier to get it reset so we don't miss any days of training. Typical. I have a client with a new horse. I feel you, Cecilia. So this client has a new horse and the horse is actually here right now. So that makes, if you're counting for those playing at home, that makes 10 horses at my house in the backyard.
On a property made for 7.
I gave away some chickens, so I'm not getting divorced. At a property made for, less. We have 6 stalls that we, like 6 perma stalls. That's 10 horses. That's right. Yeah, it's a nightmare. So anyway, but she got the horse and we brought it over here to like, let me work with it for a couple of days. First thing, it lost a shoe. So now it's just been standing here because she can't take it back to her barn, which is a walk down the road, because it's like the walk down the road is gravel. I'm not going to like make the horse lead down a mile of gravel road with no shoe. So I feel you, Cecilia. Okay. Almost done. Jacqueline said that I had to go show jumping and go cross country and 25 mile an hour wind and rain and 40 degrees. And I couldn't see because of the rain. Jacqueline, that makes you an inventor, girl. That's not a complaint. That's awesome. Awesome. Jessica says, I'm trying to hurry up and go pack, but so I can sneak to the barn and ride before my flight today. But now I have to go to the store because I don't have everything I need. And I don't think I have enough time. That is a massive, there's so many first world problems in there that I can't even count. I'm like, I have to go get on a plane. I have to go to the store. I have to go ride. It's all tough. Joy says, this is great. So Katie, let me go to Katie's. My program is beyond full and I don't have the right farm assistant to hire yet. And I have so many horses to take care of and train. Isn't that a problem when business is too good?
Yes,
I get you, Katie. It is. I get you. I'm like, I have too many students. I'm too busy. I don't want to do all this. Then Joy. Oh, Joy, you poor thing. This is our last one. I bought a new car last week and it's so clean that number one, it doesn't feel like my car. And then I went to the feed store and I found myself making sure the grain and shaving bags I bought didn't have any holes in them before bringing them home, because like my new car is not all horsified and it's like still super nice. God, how are you surviving a brand new car? Why would you take that to the feed store?
How long is it? Everybody goes through this with new cars, though, don't they? That you try and you try not to spill the soda. You try not to drop the food. You try and make sure there's no French fries between the seats. But that lasts about, I kind of figured it out the one time. It lasts about 2 to 3 weeks before you start slipping a little, and then you're slipping a little. And then after about 2 months, you don't care anymore.
So it's funny you say that, because I've actually never bought myself a new car.
Oh, you've never had that new car smell?
No, I've never had a new car. I will never buy a new car. However,
see, and I don't like buying used cars. So
I go through the same emotional process that you just described with new shoes. I'll get a new pair of shoes and I'm like, I am not taking these out to the barn. I am not going to walk into my backyard with these new shoes on. These are house and exiting the property shoes only. I'm not allowed to take these. Okay, well, I just got to run back there for just 1 second, like real quick. And then I go back there and I found myself mucking stalls. And I'm like, God dang it. I just bought new shoes. And here I am mucking the stalls. Are going to smell like pee. It's just, but you're right. It's like, to me, it's like 2 weeks. Like, yeah. I'll keep a new pair of shoes for like 2 weeks.
But we've all done the shoe thing. I have the sneakers that don't go to the barn. And they inevitably end up in the barn.
Of course, every pair. I'm like, oh, well, maybe I'll just cycle these and get a new pair.
And some of it's laziness because like halfway. Now, the barn's 100 yards. Here's the first world problem. The barn's 100 yards from the house.
Oh, my God.
So I get halfway across. I look down at my feet and go, oh, I got my good sneakers on. And then I go, well, I'm just going to feed. And then you go to feed and you spill the entire water bucket all over your feet.
Or you go to feed and you're like looking there and like the bell boot has flipped upside down. You're like, God, yeah, you gotta go in the stall. You get shavings in there.
And
yeah.
Stepping in the pee and the poop. And yeah, that happens every time. And it's pure laziness, most of it. Well, okay. Thank you, everybody, for your first world problems. It's good to know that we still have them.
It's never ending, Glenn.
I know.
There will
never
be an end to first world problems.
Can I tell you about the most Texas story I've ever seen in my life? So it's a city of Haltom City, Texas, Haltom, Haltom City, Texas. The officer, the deputy officer by the name of Dusty Simmons. Okay. I'm not making this up.
That's a name. That's a Texas name right there.
Dusty Simmons in Haltom City, Texas, gets a call on the radio.
You know what? If they said they were, I was like, hey, I'm Jamie. What's your name? He'd go, my name's Dusty. And I'd go, of course it is.
Of course it is. That's right. So in Haltom City on Friday night at 9 o'clock, he gets a call. And it is a call for an animal loose on Beach Street. So he, you know, heads on out to Beach Street to see what's loose on Beach Street. Well, what was loose on Beach Street was a miniature horse running down the middle of Beach Street. Apparently, I don't know how he got loose, but he's running down the middle of Beach Street. But this also continues to make it the most Texas story in history. Dusty Simmons happens to be doing a ride-along with a teenager. The teenager's name is Colby Caudell. I'm not kidding. Dusty is riding with Colby. Now, Colby happens to be a calf roper. So as soon as they saw the situation and nobody could catch the mini who didn't want to be catched, he drove back to Colby's truck, got the rope, because Colby travels with a rope in his truck. That's what calf ropers do.
I can't believe he didn't have it with him in the police car.
And now this is a police car SUV because that's Texas. He lassos the mini out of the window, hanging out of the window of the SUV police car.
No, out of the window?
Out of the window, he lassoed the mini. Now, Colby said, I had a blast. If you ever need any more help or want to hire me for the Mounted Patrol Unit, I'm all in. I bet that was the night of his life.
Throw the rope around the mini and like dally it on the mirror.
On the mirror. Drag it home.
Come on, we get this.
Okay, can't you? This is the most Texas story you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
When I read all the names, I was like, oh, wait a minute. Colby's riding with Dusty and he's a calf roper?
Did Colby have to say, hey, Dusty, I'm going to get that mini. Hold my beer.
That is so Texas.
Probably.
I love that story. Oh, that's one of the best stories we've ever done right there. All right, let's get Leslie. Let's get Leslie on the line to do a little wacky world of horses. She was on last week and talked all about the eventing test event over at Tryon.
Oh, you weren't
here for that? Because you were busy screwing up your vacation in Hawaii. Hi, Leslie.
Good morning.
Good morning, girl. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. How's that pony of yours? Are you getting that pony whipped into shape for the season?
Well, if she would just leave her muzzle on, she keeps taking it off. I'm like, Princess, you're never going to be an Olympic gymnast if you keep eating cheeseburgers all day long every day.
Poor little princess.
Put her out in her field and she just takes it right off.
That is a very, very cruel thing that you do to that pony, putting that muzzle on. Oh my God.
I know. And I don't want, I don't mean to fat shame her, you know. I just want her to know we have a horse trial this weekend, princess. I don't want
Does the girth still fit, or did you have to buy one of those extenders?
The girth still fits, but
it's a horse size girth on her.
Yeah,
it's a horse size girth.
Poor little princess. It's like your mama trying to keep her from getting laminitis. Gosh, you're mean.
So mean. I know. And we're doing River Glen horse trials this weekend. It'll be our first time out. So
what level are you competing at?
We're doing training level. We're just gonna go bebop around, hopefully, and get warmed up.
Don't you hate it when people say that? Like, oh, I'm just going to mess around. I'm just going to get training.
Yeah.
With my 13 three-hand pony. Just like, and by the way, River Glen, because I'm from the Southeast, that's a very hilly horse trial. How do you prepare for something like that? Do you go out there and school it as princess?
Put your horse in a muzzle and pray.
No, right? Well, the farm that I border at is pretty hilly. So we go out and go do hills pretty much every day, every ride.
Oh, wow.
You
have to. Your pony's so fat.
Yeah. Are you worried about her hitting your belly on the bottom of the jumps?
We pulled a rail with her belly at a horse show last year. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll grease up the butterball.
Poor little princess, the mama that fat shames her. Oh, you poor little thing. All right. So, we have a quiz that we need to take. Is this quiz going to give my information to some sort of Facebook entity where I'm going to get like all my information stolen?
I don't Cambridge, think so.
Cambridge Analytica.
No, this one's totally innocent. It's about ponies. So
okay.
That's the most perfect. Innocent thing there is. Yeah.
I'm terrified of quizzes now. Okay, so let's go. How do we do this? Give us a question. All right, so the link.
Yeah. Okay, you guys both pull this up. It's on Horse Nation. It's called, we ran it actually a couple weeks ago. Kristen put it together, but we haven't talked about it on the show. And it's so cute. It's so fun, I think. And I just want to see what other people's answers are.
All right, we're ready.
So you guys got the link pulled up, and any listeners, pull it up. Okay, question number one. So you guys do your own quizzes, and then we'll compare results. You know.
Okay.
One, you have an hour of free time. What do you do with it? Do you exercise, scroll through social media, take a nap, have a snack, or treat yourself to a bubble bath?
I work out. I go to the gym. I exercise.
Yep.
Riding a horse is not in here. So I'll go scroll through social media. What would you do, Glenn?
Over my options again. I missed one.
You take the quiz. Get the link.
I did. It doesn't come to the. I'm at the wrong page for some reason.
Uh-oh. Did you hit start?
Oh, I gotta hit start. No, I'm on a page I'm on the wrong page. Hold on, I'm on the wrong page. Let me do this again.
This is not that complicated.
I was on the wrong total page.
Okay, let's keep going. What do I usually eat for breakfast? Give us our options.
Okay, what do you usually eat for breakfast? Eggs, toast, bacon, and fresh fruit. A protein shake. Who has time for breakfast? A chocolate bar or something from the drive-thru? An egg white omelet with vegetables.
I'm going to go with who has time for breakfast, because I just never eat breakfast.
Okay.
I feed my child and then I don't eat.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you clicking along here?
I am now. I'm checking and none of these options. What happened to cereal? How could you not have cereal on the breakfast list?
That's true. Nope. That is my go-to. Usually.
I mean, we don't even have
Cliff
cereal
bar.
On the breakfast list.
I'm
going to click a chocolate bar.
Right. Well, of the options, what do you got to click? Just click one.
All right.
You can do this. Okay. Three, what's your dream vacation destination? I do the showcation. That's where, you know, horse show is your vacation. The great old cities of Europe. One of those great foodie destinations, like a pasta tour of Italy. Somewhere new and different. Or some beach somewhere.
Okay, this is dream vacation destination. I think I would pick somewhere new and different.
I'm going to go with that too, because we're going to Alaska next month and I've never done that. So we pick someplace new and different.
Okay. Oh my God. Never mind. I want to change mine. I don't want to have any answers like his.
Got to go with your gut. Go with your gut. Okay. Your friends describe you as spontaneous, loyal, intelligent, driven, or caring.
All right, Glenn, you do me, I'll do you. Okay. Describe. Maybe Leslie can describe us. I don't know. What would you say?
Yeah, what would you say? Am? Yeah, what would you say Jamie is?
Oh, I would say, goodness, you're all of those things, Jamie. It's hard to narrow it down.
Oh, aren't you being a suck up?
I'm going to say driven.
Driven?
I would have picked spontaneous myself.
I would like to be caring. So
caring.
Apparently, none of those.
Apparently, you didn't get that from anybody.
You are caring.
All right. Well, let's go with Leslie's answer of driven. Glenn, I would probably say that you're... wait, great. Now I lost it. What were my choices?
Spontaneous, loyal, intelligent, driven, caring.
Ugh.
At least one
OCD
of
and ADD is not on there, so
I know.
Not a choice.
I'd say that you're not spontaneous. You're loyal. Let's loyal. Go with loyal.
Okay, loyal. I'll take that one. That's better than some of the others you could have said.
All right. Which of these deadly sins best describes you? One. Okay. Here we go. Sloth, pride, envy, gluttony, or wrath?
Okay. You know what? Pre Monty Roberts certification, it would have been wrath, because don't mess with me or my family. And you know what? Now I would almost still say that, because I am a softer, nicer person, but like, you mess with my baby, we gonna have a problem. Mm-hmm. And my baby could be any number of humans or animals. So I would probably go with that. Or do I have like way too much pride?
Yeah, this is hard. The self-reflection thing's difficult.
Yeah,
because we, especially this particular question. All right, Leslie, make it easy for us. Which one would you pick? And we promise to not hold it against you. You're in the cone of safety.
For myself, I got to say gluttony. Me and Princess, we're one and the same. I'm like, I get it. We want all the cake, all for ourselves.
It doesn't help yourself. That your husband works for a food manufacturer either. It doesn't help.
I'm going to go with pride.
Right.
I'm going to go with pride. I feel like I'm always right.
I hate to ask you guys. Which would you pick for me?
Because you are, Jamie. Always right.
Wrath wouldn't be mine. I hardly get mad about anything. So I don't think it's wrath.
You're not wrath.
I don't eat gluttonous anymore because sloth. I would sloth or pride, envy.
I would probably pick sloth for you. Not that you're like super lazy, but you do sit around a lot.
I do sit around a lot. That is true. Kind of have the job where I sit around a lot. All right, pick sloth.
Yeah. All right. Okay. What's next?
Next up, we got. What's your favorite type of Netflix show to binge? Reality TV, historical drama, popular comedies, The Great British Baking Show, that's all, or critically acclaimed series with strong female leads?
See, I have two in here because, like, I watch The Voice every week still. I can't help it. It's a thing. But I do get tired of it by the end. I like the beginning. So popular comedies, the Office, like, any comedy that doesn't have a laugh track, I like. So I'm going to go with comedies.
Mm-hmm.
Modern Family, we watch The Office. I go with, what's the other one? There's a new one called LA to Vegas that's really funny. And shows like that. So that's mine. Glenn?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if it's Netflix, I have to go with, actually, this is, you guys are going to laugh, critically acclaimed series of strong female leads because of Orange is the New Black. I think that's the one I look forward to coming out every year on Netflix. So I'm going to have to go with that.
That's true. When is that coming out again,
should
by the
be
way?
In
oh,
summer,
my God.
Shouldn't it?
It ended,
did anybody
like, so
try
crazy.
The new American Idol, by the way? It's getting wrecked in the reviews. It's apparently awful.
Huh.
The judges apparently have no chemistry, and it's just being wrecked.
Yeah.
We'll see. We won't see that back.
Okay, what's next?
Next up, we got, finally, who is your favorite celebrity pony? Stroller.
Who's Stroller?
Stroller is that.
Who is Stroller? Oh, my God. educate him.
Yeah, Stroller's that pony. He went to the Olympics in, Marion Coates, I think. Coates is was the rider's name. And went and won itself. It's a little pony. I mean, like 13.3, something like that.
Yeah, Thoroughbred Connemara Cross.
Won the Olympic silver medal in show jumping. Okay. I think in the 60s or the 50s.
Don't know why I didn't remember that.
Bonkers. You got to look up some pictures of this pony. It's crazy.
Okay.
And then he was bought to be like a junior, like her junior horse or like her her growing up pony, and they went to the Olympics. How is it? It's not like a movie. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But they need to do it. Like they competed in Hickstead. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
It's crazy. So you got Stroller. We got another little freak show in Tandy O'Connor, the great event pony. Misty of Chincoteague, Bill the Pony. Or who's Bill the Pony?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Who's Bill the Pony? I have no idea. Guess that won't be our pick.
Enough. Or Ed from Ed Being Naughty, my favorite YouTube video of all time.
We've actually talked to them, Leslie. We've had them on that. We had the owners on the show a couple years ago.
So amazing.
How is Princess not an option?
I know. She is a celebrity pony.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go
Bill the Pony.
I gotta say, I was the hugest fan of Teddy, and I saw him at Rolex, and we would run from jump to jump trying to see him. So I'm gonna go with Teddy.
Uh huh.
I'm gonna go with Teddy too. I have to, because I saw him too several times. So I have to go with Teddy.
Amazing.
All right. Do we get our results now?
Yep. And then so click through and tell us what your results are.
What? I got, this is my spirit pony, the lazy pony. Your Wii riders regularly carry a crop in each hand plus spurs, which, by the way, I don't ride with a crop or spurs. It's my spirit pony, though. Legend has it you may have laid down on a child in the past, but the Ta was saved by all of your fluffy hair. No force on earth will make you move faster than a walk, not even the shaking of a grain pail. A lazy turd.
That's funny.
You do whine about getting up to do this show every morning, so you know
it's 4:30 when I get up, Gwen.
Okay, I kind of think ours should have been reversed. Actually, I got the naughty pony.
That's right.
Ed Being Naughty is your favorite film. Don't move very fast until you do, and then it's top speed to the corner of the arena with your head between your knees. Hang on tight, kid. This is how you get to be a better rider.
Yeah. The first time I did the quiz, that's the one I got too. I changed up my answers.
We're
a little
spirit
bit this
animals,
time.
Leslie.
spirit ponies.
What did you get this time?
This time I got the easy keeping pony. The classic pony. Grazing reins will never stop you from enjoying the life of leisure you know you were destined to lead. Get yourself the finer things in life. You deserve them. Yes, I do, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Good job. Good job, internet quiz.
And if you want to play along and see what you are, you can go to horsenation.com to do that.
You know what? I'm going to lay down on you guys and just roll over on you.
Oh, your fatness.
Take a nap.
We need to put a muzzle on her, apparently. We need a muzzle for Jamie.
Muzzle and a nap, baby. That's what I'm all about.
Yep.
You know, it is appropriate that I got the naughty pony when they say their animals reflect their owners. And I actually own a naughty pony. So it does kind of go together.
True.
They do go together. True. Yeah.
It works.
All right. Well, Leslie, thank you. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks.
Let us know how you make out, okay?
Yep. Grease up that belly. Good to go.
All right. Bye. Bye, Leslie.
Grease on the belly button. Come on.
I can just picture her pony, too. It's the cutest little pony in the world with his all greased up belly.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I need to see it.
That's funny. All right. Do we have anything else we want to talk about today?
Well, I found one thing on Facebook that I thought I would share and read just to end your Monday and to get a little bit of inspiration. Do you mind if I read? I'll take a couple minutes to read
no,
through
go
this.
Ahead.
But I just really liked it as the first, this is like a letter to the writer. And I don't know who wrote it. It's been shared around Facebook, so everybody's probably seen it. But the first one really grabbed me because when I showed as a child, my parents were not super knowledgeable nor super involved. And I had rubber boots and my brother's Sunday school coat is what I wore in the horse shows. So I had my friend who I showed with had like the custom boots and the like fancy pony. And I had like the off the track thoroughbred that everybody thought was super inappropriate for me. So this kind of spoke to me a little bit. So this is the to the rider, and then you can just hit the music and we'll end it. I'll say spay, neuter, and geld now. But to the rider who wears cheap riding pants or leggings and rubber boots, good for you. You know that your horse couldn't care less what you're wearing, and you know how important it is to be comfortable when riding. To the all the gear and no idea rider, wow, you look incredible. Your horse has everything it could wish for, and you are keeping equestrian merchants in business. You don't have to be a Grand Prix rider to wear matchy-matchy. Go, you. So positive. To the rider who rides once a week, if you're lucky. Brilliant. It is so difficult to fit horses in around the rest of our lives. It's great that you make the time to do the most that you can with your horse. To the rider who never rides her horse. No problem. I doubt your horse cares whether it's ridden or not. How lovely for your horse to spend its life being fed, groomed, and grazing in the field and not having to do any work. To the rider who rides every day, go for it. Your dedication is admirable and your horse is benefiting from a great fitness and training regime. Well done. To the barefoot fanatic, I admire your passion. Barefoot is the best option for many horses, and it's wonderful that you're trying to improve your horse's comfort and foot health. To the owner of the traditionally shod horse, fantastic! Shoes are the best option for many horses. It's great to know your horse's feet are protected from the surfaces that we ask them to work on. To the rider who trains with every professional and expert going, brilliant! What a wealth of knowledge and expertise you have access to. To the self-taught rider, you must be so proud. What an achievement to have made all those discoveries yourself. To the high-achieving rider, you inspire me. Your results and rosettes are impressive. They are not won without hard work, commitment, and sacrifice. To the rider who has never won anything, who cares? Ribbons are not the be-all and end-all. As long as you enjoy riding, that is what matters the most. If you're trying to win and you haven't had any luck, keep going. You'll get there eventually. The hardest won successes are the sweetest. To the owner who keeps their horse spotlessly cleaned, neatly trimmed, and pulled, marvelous. I applaud your attention to detail. Your horse looks beautiful. To the owner whose horse is caked in mud and has the odd dreadlock here and there, I laugh with you. You know that horses love to roll, and if you were to bathe your horse today, you would find them in exactly the same mucky state again tomorrow. You know that your horse doesn't care what they look like at all. As long as your horse is happy and healthy, what you do with your horse is nobody else's business. The only time anyone should interfere is if there's a genuine equine welfare issue, an issue regarding your safety, or if you have specifically asked for advice or help. Otherwise, don't judge. To each their own and good for you are great mottos to live by. Thank you. I love that.
Very well done. Yes.
And we've all been every one of those riders. And this is just basically just, you know what our, what my phrase is in the house. If you ask Lucas what I'll say ELE, baby, ELE. And I took it from a movie, but ELE is the motto in our house. And if you go to Lucas, what's ELE? He'll go, everybody love everybody.
Does he say in that tone of voice too?
Yeah, see, it's so weird. I'm like, he'll start complaining. I'm like, ELE, he'll go, but that kid at school. I'm like, ELE. He's like, everybody love everybody. He's four. All right, everybody, have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld. Happy Monday.
We'll be here with the Certified Horsemanship Association tomorrow morning, and then Jamie will, and all of us will be back on Wednesday.
ELE. Come on.
Need more of that in horse world for sure. And the whole world.
That's why
for
I
sure.
wanted to read that. The whole world needs that.